We're having a summer of focusing on the family here at Eastern Gate. And during these summer months and weeks, you and I are learning about our family, and that is learning about the family of God. As we've been working our way through this series of messages beginning in Matthew 12, we've discovered that one of the things that characterizes the family of God is the Father's will. We discovered in that passage that the Lord identified those who are truly His family, His brothers and sisters and mother, as those who've obeyed His Father's will, that is His Father who is in heaven. And we discovered in Matthew 12, in that part of those series of messages, that the Father's will in that context is to repent, for sinners to repent of their sin and to turn to Christ and receive Him as the Lord of their life. Those who are part of the family are those, ladies and gentlemen, who have turned to the Father and submitted themselves and obeyed His will, repented of their sins, and received His beloved Son that He sent into the world, and received Him as Lord of their life. If you've never been brought to the point of repentance, brokenness over your sinful condition, over your lostness, and to the point of receiving Christ, then listen, you're not part of the family of God. Those who are in the family are those who have repented. They've obeyed the Father's will. We discovered a second thing that is characteristic of the family of God, and that is the new birth. And you and I discovered in John 3 that those who are, ladies and gentlemen, who are brought to the point of repentance and believing on the Lord Jesus, that there's a work of the Spirit on the inside of us, in our hearts, in our spirit, at that point of believing and turning to Christ. It's called the new birth. That is, the Spirit of God quickens us, makes us alive on the inside. That is, we are brand new creatures in Christ, like a brand new little baby born into the world. We have new life. We've been born of the Spirit. Listen, if you've never been born again, if you've never had an experience of new birth, where God brought you to the point of repentance and believing, and you are quickened and made alive on the inside, then you're not part of the family of God. All of those who are in the family have a birthday, just like in your family, not a physical birthday, but a spiritual birthday. That is a time or an experience where they were born again. We spent some time talking about the new birth. And so we know that those who are in the family are characterized by the Father's will and the new birth. And most recently, we've been discovering in the last few messages that we all have the favorite food. That is, just like in your family, everybody has their favorite food. Even so, in the family of God, we've all have our favorite food. And as you well remember, I'm sure you do, that is, our favorite food is all the same. We all love the same food. That is, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, we're like newborn babes. Those who've just been born again, brand new babes in Christ, and we desire after the sincere milk of the Word so that we can grow thereby. That is, those who've been brought to the point of repentance, obeyed the Father's will, born again, a brand new babe in Christ. And those who are brand new babes in Christ, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, we love the milk of the Word. And as we've been growing, we've got onto the meat of the Word a little bit as well. We love the Word of God. That's why you're here. That's why we gather together, so we can sing about the Word and so that we can study the Word. That's why we gather. We love the Word of God. It is our favorite food, and I gave you a lot of reasons why it is in the most recent messages. So I want you to think with me for a little while this morning about a fourth characteristic of the family of God. Not only is there the Father's will and the new birth and the favorite food, but then there are also the personal talks. Look at Galatians chapter number 4, and we'll begin talking about the talks. In Galatians chapter number 4, the Bible tells us in verse number 4 that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, talking about our Lord Jesus, and God sent Him into the world at exactly the right time, and He sent Him through the womb of a woman. That is, He was conceived supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, and then born into the world by a woman named Mary. God sent His Son into the world, made of a woman, and made under the law. That is, He came into the Jewish family. And just as God had prophesied that He would, He was made under the law. And here's why He came: to redeem them, set free them that were under the law, and so that we might receive the adoption of sons. He came for the purpose of redemption and adoption. God sent Him into the world so that He might set us free, ladies and gentlemen, from the condemnation of the law that reveals our sinfulness and reveals our death. Set free from that, He came to redeem us, and He also came to adopt us so that we might become the sons of God. Now listen, if you've been adopted as a son of God, that means you're part of the family. That's how you get into the family. That is, he uses the idea of being born again, and he also uses the idea of adoption. The idea of adoption means that he's taking those who weren't his children and he is making them his own children. That's why he uses the image of adoption in places in the Scripture. We weren't his children, but now we are. We weren't part of the family, but now we are. Listen, there are those in this room that have experienced adoption, that is literal adoption, physical adoption, and that is, that weren't part of a particular family, but now they are. And the reason why is because they were adopted. Listen, God adopted you into his family. If you're saved, he sent his son to redeem you, and so that you might be adopted as one of his sons. But look at verse number 6. And because your sons, that is, because God has accepted you and adopted you as his son, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts. That is, whenever God saved you, you not only were redeemed and adopted, but you were indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. He came to live on the inside of you. That is, the Spirit of God living in you, in your heart, that is, in your inner being now, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's what the new birth is about. It's about this life of the Spirit coming to live on the inside of you. You have the life of the Spirit. But notice with me the last phrase of verse number 6, and that is, he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And I really like that, and I know I've touched base on it before, but let me just remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this little phrase here, this idea of crying, Abba, Father, is a very personal, intimate word that would be used of a little child toward its daddy. And for example, it may well be that whenever you were growing up or your children were growing up, it might well be that instead of calling you father, they might have called you dada. And instead of calling me grandfather, my grandchildren, they call me Poppy for the most part. And it's kind of a personal term. That is, your first grandchild gets to name you. I guess that's how it is in most families, isn't it? And that's sort of the way it was in mine. The rest of them just kind of fall into line. And but it's more personal, isn't it? And that's the idea of this phrase, Abba, Father. It's the cry of a little babe, a small child, an intimate word that is used towards its father. And it's a beautiful picture that is given here. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, it's the picture of those little children who have something on the inside of them that wants to cry out to their father. Now, you've seen this, and I've seen it as well in my own family. And I remember when my kids were small, and I miss those little rascals, don't you, those of you that have grown children. And that is, whenever you get around them, well, they want you to take them up in your arms and love on them. They want you to play with them. And my kids just don't do that as much anymore. Not too much. Now, I've got some young grandkids that still do that, and that is when I see them, for the most part, at least one or two of them, they want to get to me, and I enjoy that very much. Listen to me now. I'm a father and a grandfather, and one of the things that I love as much as anything in those roles is the fact that my kids want me to pick them up, and my grandkids want me to pick them up and hold them, and here's what I like to do. I like to talk to them, and I want them to talk to me. As a matter of fact, if I'm holding them close by, I'll just snuggle up to their little ear and start talking to them in their ear. And they'll just turn their ear around and they'll want to listen closely. And then they might turn the other ear around and listen with that one. Because I've got some things I want to say to them. It may be nothing more than just Poppy loves you, but I just want to whisper that or speak that into their ear. And then I want them to talk to me. I'll sit them down on my lap and I'll say, why don't you tell me what you've been doing today? And I'll get all kinds of little stories whenever I ask them that question. And sometimes details that I really probably shouldn't be hearing. But if they're old enough to talk, they say everything. Sometimes all you get is just some jibber jabber, some baby talk. You just get a little gooing and gone. And sometimes I coo and goo back at them. You don't know what I'm talking about. You have the picture here. That's sort of the way it is whenever you're growing up with children and grandchildren, ladies and gentlemen. Now listen, my kids are all grown now, as you all well know, but I still want to talk to them and I still want them to talk to me. And that is, I get a phone like you all do, and I get on the phone. And my wife has one as well, and she gets on the phone and I listen in when she's talking to them. Just so I can hear what's going on. For some reason, as a dad, I want to know what's going on. Now, I know that my kids, and they can, and I don't care if they hear this, and that is, I know they just tell me what they want me to know. But nevertheless, I want to know what they want me to know. And sometimes you can kind of read between the lines every once in a while and kind of see what else is going on. And in today's social media climate, sometimes if you just nose around a little bit or have somebody else do it, you'll find out even more that's going on. Well, here's what I want to say, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I want to talk to my kids and I want them to talk to me. And by the way, I want to talk to my grandkids and I want my grandkids to talk to me. Even the little ones, if all it is just verbal noises and cooing, I'll sit there and listen to that and do it right back at them. And even so it is in the family of God. I remember when I was growing up, I remember the evenings when my dad would get home from work. He'd get home about 5:45, and Mom would have supper just about done and set it on the table. And then when we got done, we would go into the living room, and Dad would sit down in his recliner, and he'd have his glass of sweet tea sitting beside him after supper. And we'd turn the TV on, and there was usually some kind of a show on and that would be decent to watch, and we would sit there and try to get it tuned in on the little TV that we had. You remember those days. Try to get some of the snow and the lines out of it. And Dad would sit there in his chair, and before long, it'd be one of us sitting on his lap, and he'd be telling us, you know, what he wanted to tell us and talk to us and want us to talk to him about what went on that day at school. And I know not everybody has a dad like that, but I'm thankful to God that I did have one like that, ladies and gentlemen. But I want you to know that even if you didn't, you've got a Heavenly Father that's just like that. And even better. And as you have to wait for him to get off work, he's available all the time. And by the way, he'll take you in his arms and wrap them around you and love you like nobody's ever loved you. And listen to me now, you can tell him anything. And as you don't have to hedge, well, you have to just tell him what you want him to know. You can tell God everything. And by the way, he already knows it anyway. That is, we have a Heavenly Father, ladies and gentlemen, that wants to have personal talks with us. And there's something on the inside of all of us kids. That is, we're just like a bunch of little toddlers running around here. There's none any of us that are all that spiritually mature. We're like a bunch of spiritual toddlers, been born again, love the Lord, and we just like to talk to our Father. One of the things that characterizes the family of God are these personal talks, this desire to just have some time alone with our Father, just talking to him. Just spending some time with him. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a word to describe that, don't we? The word that we use to describe these personal talks is the word prayer. And I haven't used that word much yet already in this series of messages, though I will. And the reason why is because I don't want you to think of prayer as something that you just say to God. It's more than just words that we say. We talk about saying our prayers. I said my prayers. But listen, that's not what it is. In other words, what I'm talking about is something beyond just saying a prayer, hoping that God up there somewhere, maybe accidentally, maybe bounced off of a cloud and God heard it or something. I'm not talking about just saying prayers as though this is some kind of a religious ritual that religious people go through, that we just have to say our prayers as a religious ritual. I'm talking about somebody that you know personally, that you spend time with like a little child with their father. Personal talks. Personal, intimate time alone with our Father. That's what prayer is intended to be. And that's what I want it to be in your life. That is my desire for you, if you're part of the family, is that you will learn how to talk to your Father. That is, have some personal time with him. And I know if you're saved, that desire's on the inside of you because you've got the Spirit of God living in you crying, Abba, Father. There is something, someone on the inside of you that has connected you to heaven. You say, well, how are you going to talk to God whenever he's in heaven and we're down here? Well, it's real easy. And that his heaven came to live on the inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. There's a divine connection. That is, you've got a radio wave signaled to heaven. Just like when you're riding down the road, if you turn your radio on and you turn the signal, ladies and gentlemen, and you bring in a certain station, listen, the Spirit of God has signaled you in, has turned your dial when he saved you, so that now you have a direct connection with the Father who is in heaven. because he lives in you. And listen, my desire for you is that you'll get to know him. I'm going to preach to you a little while about that today in the next two or three services, because I want you to know how you can just have a personal talk with your Heavenly Father. And as a family of God, you can, and you should. And there's something on the inside of you that wants that, that desires that. There's something on the inside of you that just always tends to want to cry out to God. But I want you to develop that and learn how to spend more time with your Father, because in heaven, you have a Father who wants to hear from you. Where the Bible invites us in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Come on to the throne so that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. You've got a Father, ladies and gentlemen, that wants to hear from you, and he wants to hear from you so that he can help you. He wants to. He wants to help you. Now, I know some of you dads are a little bit like I am, and that is, if you think your kids have a problem, you want to try to help. You want to do what you can to be able to help them, but if you don't know what's going on, you can't help them, so you want your kids to talk to you and tell you what's going on so you can try to help them solve their problems if it's at all possible. That's kind of the way we are, and I want to tell you that our Father's even more that way. Our Heavenly Father, ladies and gentlemen, he knows what we're going through. He really does. He was in this world. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verses 14 and 15, he was in this world. He was tempted like we are, ladies and gentlemen. He went through all that he went through so that he understands what we're going through. He knows how much we need his help, and he invites us to come to his throne of grace because he wants to help us. He really does. He wants you to talk to him. He invites you to. What a privilege that is. Let me talk to you about the privilege of these personal talks. That is the privilege of being able to talk to God. Hey, the Spirit of God who is living on the inside of you, ladies and gentlemen, has opened up the way. That is, Christ's blood was shed on the cross to redeem you, ladies and gentlemen, from sin, so that now you can have fellowship with God, and the Spirit of God living on the inside of you will help you to be able to do that. Just like I said from Galatians 4:6, he sent his Spirit into your hearts and he's crying, Abba, Father. In Romans chapter number 8, it talks about the help of the Holy Spirit when it comes to our prayer life. In Romans 8 and verse number 26, it says this. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, an infirmity is a weakness that we have, a struggle that we have. And the Spirit's here to help our infirmities. And here's one of the infirmities that we have. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the Spirit of God living on the inside of you wants to help you learn how to talk to the Father? The Bible says one of the infirmities or weaknesses or struggles that we have is that we don't really know what we ought to pray for like we should. You say, well, that sounds strange to me. I mean, if you're saved, you ought to know how to pray. But listen to me now. When a little baby is born, do they know how to talk? Well, of course not. And that is, they have to grow a little bit in that area, don't they? Well, they know how to cry. We do too, don't we? I mean, we cry out to God. But all learning how to really talk to him, learning how to really pray, and that is, learning how to really fellowship with God is an area that, like a little baby, we have to learn a little bit. And we got somebody on the inside of us that's trying to help us learn. It's the Spirit of God. The Bible says he's making intercession for us. Sometimes it's with groanings that cannot be uttered. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Spirit of God moving in us with a burdened heart. Not words that are spoken, but burdens on the inside. Teaching us how we ought to pray and what we ought to pray for. He's trying to teach us how to talk to our Father. What a privilege that is. That is, listen, those who aren't saved, who don't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, they don't have that privilege. Those who just walked the aisle, shook the preacher's hand, got baptized in water, but have never been born again, listen, aren't a part of the family, aren't not indwelt by the Spirit of God, they don't have that privilege. Listen, they're out here trying to say their prayers, but they don't have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of them that's teaching them how to walk with God and how to pray. But you do. You do. So listen to me now. Don't let that religious crowd drag you down. That is down a road, ladies and gentlemen, in which people are just saying prayers and not really walking with God in prayer. God wants to take you down, and the Spirit of God wants to take you down a privileged road, that is, of walking and talking with God. What a privilege it is that we have this opportunity to be able to walk with God in prayer. And it's because of the Son of God who died for us on the cross and the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of us. In John chapter number 14, we read more about this wonderful privilege. Listen to what it says in John 14 and beginning, ladies and gentlemen, in verse number 12. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me," that is those who rest their faith in Christ, "the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father," that is, I'm getting ready to leave, "and because I'm getting ready to leave, you're going to do even greater works than I've done." You say, well, what does him leaving have to do with us doing anything greater? Well, if you back up a little bit or speed up a little bit in John 16, the Bible says in verse number 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away." There's that same idea. And here's why it's expedient or good for you that I go away. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart," guess what I'm going to do? "I'm going to send him unto you." And listen, he's saying, "I'm going away, and when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit of God comes, he's going to do a work in you, and he's going to do a work through you." That's why he said in John 12, 14, you're going to do even greater works because I'm going to my Father. And of course, as a result, the Spirit of God is going to come. And then verse 13 says this, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Son, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name," hey, listen to me now, "if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it." You say, "Pastor, what does it mean?" It means, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been born again, the Spirit of God is living on the inside of you. Hey, God is going to do great things through your life. And one of the great things, one of the means by which God is going to do great things is through your prayer life. Greater works than even our Lord did because of the indwelling Spirit of God? Yes. You say, well, I'd like to see some of those great works. Jesus said, if you'll ask, "Ask in my name and I will do it." Ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit of God living on the inside of you has opened up a door for you to be able to pray according to the will of God and see the great things of God in your life. Great works of God, but it's going to be through your prayer life that's going to happen. What a privilege we have as the people of God to be able to come into His presence, bow before the one who is tempted like we are, yet without sin, that we can come to His throne and find grace to help in our time of need. I'm talking to you about the wonderful privilege of this personal talk with the Lord. There's not only the privilege of these personal talks, but let me just speak to you for a few more moments about the priority of talking with our Father. That is, in the family of God, ladies and gentlemen, talking with our Father is a priority. Now, when I use the word priority, you know what I mean, and that is, I mean, this is one of the things that's really, really important to all of us in the family of God. That is, prayer is not a side issue. That is, talking with our Father is not something that we just do once in a while, but it's really important to us. You see, the problem in our world, that is in the religious world today, is that many who claim to be believers don't have a prioritized prayer life. There are many who claim to be believers who could go for days and weeks and months without ever getting alone with God and praying. And listen to me now, there are many whose prayer lives are nothing more than just the repetition of words and phrases expressing their wishes, but never getting a hold of God and never fellowshipping with Him. That is, their prayer life is just rote repetition, and it is dead and it is dry. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not true in the family of God. Say it again. That is not characteristic of the family of God. That may be characteristic of much of the religious world of our day. But much of the religious world of our day, ladies and gentlemen, has never met God, doesn't know Him personally, has never been born of the Spirit. But those who have been, ladies and gentlemen, in the family of God, those who are in the family of God have a vibrant prayer life. That is, they talk to the Father and He talks to them. It is a priority in their life. It's important in their life. It's not a side issue in their life. Now, the reason why that prayer or talking with our Father is so important in our life is because of what we believe. That is what it is that we believe about God and what it is that we believe about prayer. And that is those who prayer is a priority in their life, it's because, ladies and gentlemen, they are dependent upon God and they know that they need Him at every point in their life. That is that they are no longer a rebellious teenager towards their Father. You know what I mean? A rebellious teenager, ladies and gentlemen, I use a teenager, it could be an adult or it could be a small child in this day, and that is rebelling against their Father and doesn't want to talk to them, doesn't want to be around Him. Not so in the family of God. That is, in the family of God, ladies and gentlemen, we recognize our dependence upon our Father. You see, a rebellious teenager rebelling against the Father needs to stop and consider where he or she would be without their Father. In most cases, they would be hungry and homeless. A little gratitude would probably be welcome. In that case, here's what I'm trying to say to you, ladies and gentlemen. That is that we know we have a Father who loves us. We have a Father that we are dependent upon. That we have a Father we need every day of our life. And that is that we need His guidance in my life. Every day I need God to guide me. I need His direction in my life. I need to know what direction to go in and what decisions to make. I need God's direction in my life. And by the way, I need God's protection in my life as well. That is, I have a Father, ladies and gentlemen, whose protection, like a little child, I need my Father to provide guidance for me. I need my Father to provide protection for me. I really believe that, don't you? I really do. I really believe I need God's provision in my life. And there's a God as my provider, like a shepherd to the sheep. The God is our provider. He's the one that guides us, that leads us, ladies and gentlemen, down through the green pastures and by the still waters. And He's the one who leads us through the valley of the shadow of death and protects us with His rod. He comforts us. And He's the one, ladies and gentlemen, that provides for us, even in the presence of our enemies. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, can dine. That is, we can eat and experience His provision. I know that I need God's fellowship every day. That is, I need to draw near to Him every day. I need Him every day. Now listen, you say, Pastor, why are you so needy? I'll tell you the reason why I'm so needy. It's because, ladies and gentlemen, this sense of need began with me when God broke me at my point of conversion. That is, if those who've been born again, you'll understand what I mean when I say to you that when God saved me, He brought me to a point of such brokenness that nothing could fix the problem on the inside of me, my lostness. Nothing but Him. Nothing. My parents couldn't fix it. My pastor couldn't fix it. My church couldn't fix it. My relatives couldn't fix it. My good works couldn't fix it. Ladies and gentlemen, even the prayers that I was pouring out there on the altar that Sunday couldn't fix it. There wasn't anything that could fix the problem in me. Nothing could except the Father who sent the Son, who died on that cross, who paid that price. What I'm trying to describe to you is that brokenness that I experienced at the point of my conversion, listen to me now, where I realized how much I needed Him. I've said to you in my testimony before that, listen, when God brought me to the point of salvation, I would have done anything to get saved. Anything to get saved. It wouldn't matter what was required. I would have tried to do it if there's any way possible. I've said before that if I had to climb up on the roof, I'd have been looking for a ladder. Whatever it took to get saved, I would have done it. But I found out I didn't have to do anything. And the reason why is because it was a Father in heaven who had already taken care of it for me. And He did it at the cross. Listen, when God brought me to that point in my life, as He did those of you that are saved, to that point where you were just so broken, you couldn't do anything to save yourself, and you needed Him, and listen, when you found Him and He found you, it was done. I will never forget how much I needed Him. It's been a lot of years ago now. Some 47 years ago. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that I have never gotten over how much I needed Him. Never have. And I still need him. I don't need him. I don't need him to save me. I'm already saved. But I need him to guide me. I need him to direct me. I know I need him to provide for me. I know I need his fellowship. I need God every day. And listen, when you know you need him, when you know you need him, it'll motivate you to talk to him. Listen, those who don't believe they really need God every day, they may talk about prayer, but it'll never become a priority in their life. Well, they need God for it. They have money. What do I need God for? I got friends. I mean, listen, if you got money and you got friends and you got folks following you on Facebook, what more could a man want? Or a lady, as the case may be. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if God ever breaks in on your heart and brings you to a point where you really realize who he is and how much you need him, then prayer will become more than just an occasional few words, but it'll become a priority in your life. You see, there's our need for God. And we recognize that we need him and that we need God's blessing in our life. I believe that I not only need God, but I believe that God is the source of blessing for my life. That God wants to bless me. And listen to me now, that there are many things that God wants to bless me with that only comes through prayer. And you say, well, God's just going to give me whatever he wants me to have. No, there's some things you're going to miss out on if you don't spend some time talking with him. If you don't spend some time in prayer, then there's some things you're going to miss out on in life. Let me just share with you what a few things are. Here's what you're going to miss out on. That is, I believe that if I'm going to experience these things, then I got to pray. And it motivates me to want to pray. First of all, I know that God wants to bless me with joy. J-O-Y. Listen to me now, and joy comes through prayer. You say, Pastor, I mean, how can you say that? Well, Jesus said that. I don't have to say it. He said in John chapter number 16 and verse 24, here's what he said. He said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you'll receive that your joy might be full. You say, well, I got a little bit of joy in my heart. I don't want a little bit. I want a lot, don't you? I want my joy to be full. I want my cup to be running over, my joy cup. I want it to go ahead and just fill up and run over a little bit, don't you? I want to be full of joy. And the Bible tells us here, our Lord tells us here, ladies and gentlemen, that the key to fullness of joy in the life of the believer is to just spend some time talking with our Father, to learn how to pray, to learn how to talk with him. Absolutely. I really believe that, don't you? And that's why prayer is a priority. That is, prayer is a priority in the family of God. And the reason why is because we really believe in the family of God, ladies and gentlemen, that God wants to bless us with joy. And fullness of joy comes through spending time with the Father in prayer. I believe that prayer is a priority in the family of God because we also believe that God wants to bless us with peace. Not only fullness of joy, but God wants to bless us with peace. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a connection between the peace that God wants to bless us with and the prayer life that God wants us to experience with him. Paul makes that connection in Philippians chapter number 4. Listen to what he writes. In Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, he said this. He said, be careful for nothing. Now when the Bible says here, be careful for nothing in Philippians 4, 6, it means this literally, not that you shouldn't be careful when you're driving down the road or when you're engaged in other activities. It means don't be anxious, full of anxiety about anything. Now listen, this certainly is a message for our day, isn't it? It really is for every generation, but it seems as though that you and I live in a nervous generation, an anxious generation. It seems like that you and I live in an age where anxiety among people has exploded. People are full of anxiety. And I think some of it has to do with our communication That is some of the social media and the peer pressure, ladies and gentlemen, that comes as a result of some of the social media, especially among young people, but among everyone as well. And that is, it creates a real sense of anxiety that has become a real problem, and that is, it's been documented to become a real problem even among children today. Those of you that have children in your family, whether they're your children or whether they're your grandchildren, and that is, that we are living in a nervous and anxious generation. And one of the reasons why is because, ladies and gentlemen, of the fact that most of these kids are spending more time on social media with people that don't love them than they are with their father or their parents who do. I remember going to school, don't you? This is a little off track, but let me just throw it out there to you. I remember going to school, and at school, you have a lot of peer pressure. Now, it's a different kind of peer pressure when I was growing up than it is now, but the same basic thing. And there was peer pressure, and there was bullies at school. But I remember that as soon as that bell rang and I got out of that school, listen to me now, all that was over. It was done. And that is, when I got home, I had an understanding with my siblings. They understood me and I understood them. And I had a mom and a dad who didn't put up with that, and they loved us, and I was away from that. But I tell you that whenever young people leave the school today, they're not away from it. It's on their phone. The anxiety continues on into the late hours if they still have their phone late at night. It continues on through the evening and through the late hours. The bullying and all of the stuff that's on there. We live in an anxious, anxious day. Not only, ladies and gentlemen, an anxious day for small children and teenagers, but for adults as well. Battling with anxiety. Be careful for nothing. But on the other hand, he said in verse number 6, he said, don't be anxious about anything but, or the opposite of that is, in everything, that is, don't let anything bring anxiety, but in everything by prayer and supplication. The word supplication is the idea of coming to God with those needs you have in your life. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He's talking about our prayer life, isn't he? About you and I getting alone with our Father. Bringing all of our needs to Him, all of our requests, all of our needs, mingled with thanksgiving and gratitude and expressing our love and affection for our Father, just getting alone with God in prayer. And you know what will happen, don't you? You know verse 7, don't you? If you'll stop worrying and start praying, if you'll stop being anxious about what the future holds and what you have no control over, and take all of that to your Father, lay it before Him, and surrender it to Him. Some of you getting a little older, you got a few health problems. Some of you, not a few, a lot. Your life could be riddled with anxiety if it wasn't for your Father that you could come to and lay that before Him. How many times, I can't count, as a little boy growing up, there was something going on in my life that was filling me with anxiety. If I could tell you what it was, you would think, well, that's not even a problem, but it was to a little boy. Until I got to my father, or in some cases, my mother. And finally, after keeping it on the inside and being full of anxiety because of it, just tell them about what it is and I'm struggling with, and I found out that what I thought was a big problem was a little problem that they could easily take care of. And then I was fine. I knew everything's going to be all right. Well, I'm so thankful that even though my father and my mother are not here anymore, that I have a heavenly Father, ladies and gentlemen, that I can run to. When problems hit and troubles come and anxiety finds its way on the inside of me, say, Pastor, you ever get anxious? Sure. But I found out where to go to. And that I can come to Him. There are things that I can't control, can't do anything about. And listen, I can lay it right there at His feet and surrender it to Him. And know that God's got it taken care of. That my Father loves me. And He wants to help me. And if I'll do that, then the Bible says in verse number 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. And the idea is guard your hearts, your emotions, and your minds through Christ Jesus. That is, you can have a peace on the inside that will guard you internally, mentally and emotionally, that will guard you on the inside. You can have that kind of peace on the inside. The Bible says it's a peace that passes all understanding. And the best way that I understand that is this, and that is a peace, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I can experience even when we shouldn't have any. In a situation where we should be full of anxiety, we can still be full of peace. The reason why is because we have a Father that we can come to and talk with. That is, you and I know this. Here's what we believe in the family of God. We believe that God wants to bless us and that many of His blessings come through prayer. That His joy comes through prayer and this peace comes through prayer. We know that the power of God comes through prayer. That is, if you and I are going to experience spiritual empowering, you say, I'd like to have the power of God on my life and on our life of our church. God put His power on us and use us in great and mighty ways. Do you know there's a connection between praying and power? But the Bible says in Acts 4:31 about the early church, after they'd been persecuted, arrested, and intimidated by the Jewish leaders, they got together and they started praying. The Bible says in Acts 4:31 that when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together began to shake, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to go out and preach the Word of God with boldness. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, as they prayed and surrendered and yielded themselves to God. You see, in the family of God, we really believe that if we need power, then we need to pray. If we need peace, then we pray. If we need joy, then we pray. See, those in the family of God, we prioritize our prayer life because we believe that, listen, God has some great things He wants to bless us with, and they can only be received through prayer. Listen to what Jesus told us. In Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 7, here's what He said. He said, Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, God will open up some doors if you'll just start knocking. You'll get to find some things you wouldn't have had otherwise if you'll start seeking. God will give you some things that you wouldn't have received if you'll just start asking. Hey, everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You say, Pastor, are you sure? Listen to what our Lord said. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, is he going to give him a stone? If your son comes to you and says, I'm hungry, Daddy, I'd like to have something to eat, you're going to give him rocks to eat? Of course not. If he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? Say, Dad, I'd like to have some meat. And you're going to give him a snake? Is that what you're going to do? Of course not. If you then, being evil or sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, hey, the one who's in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask Him? You see, the reason why that we're motivated and prayer is a priority in the family of God is because we know we have a Father who wants to bless us with good things. And we know that those blessings come through asking. James said it this way in James chapter 4 and verse number 2. James 4:2, he says, you lust and have not. You lust, you desire, but you don't have. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not. Are you ready? Because you ask not. Why don't you stop fighting? Why don't you stop warring? Why don't you stop lusting and start asking? Hey, listen to me now. If you will, if you'll start asking, you'll start receiving. And the family of God, we really believe this, that God really hears and He really answers our prayers. And that's why in the family of God, we have this wonderful privilege that is such a priority in our lives. Listen, family of God, you've got a Father that wants you to talk to Him. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your Word and Your people and what You're saying to us and how You're working in us. God, I pray, Father, You speak loudly to our hearts and work powerfully in our lives. God, I pray the Spirit of God to move in such a way that those, Father, who haven't been spending any time with You, God, they'd get right, that they would prioritize their time to spend time alone with You. Would You bless each one here? Pray for those that are lost, who aren't part of the family, that you'd open their eyes and let them see their condition. Draw them to yourself and save them by your grace. Father, we surrender ourselves to you. Thank you for these moments that we have now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.